as being with like-minded, supportive people lifts each one of us. And the topic this morning relates to each one of us. It's divine justice and human justice. Looking at human justice, we grew up thinking about outer circumstances and deciding if we thought they were good or bad. Sometimes we had a few facts about the situation from TV reporting, newspapers. However, facts or no facts, we did not hesitate to form an opinion. And if only that person, this is an example, if only he had not been speeding, he would still be with us. Or if only he didn't drink, if only he had exercised, if only he had gotten counseling. Opinions, opinions, opinions. Some possibly on target, some definitely not. And as we're still thinking about human justice, what were and are the influences beyond the facts for you to decide if something's right or wrong? Influences could be from family, friends, teachers, neighbors. All of them influence us. And then there's church. If we went to Sunday school in church, we heard stories about Jesus' birth, ministry, death, resurrection. And for me, these were always stories that happened 2,000 years ago. It never occurred to me that anything in the Old or New Testament related to me as a guide to give me joy, peace of mind, comfort, wisdom, expanded love, unlimited opportunities. And then I found divine science. And over time, I came to realize there is such a thing as divine justice. And it's very different from human justice. I was introduced to Lucy and the writings of Dr. Seale and so many other spiritually advanced people who left written records which help others understand the meaning of Scripture. For example, Paul told us, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And we find that when we begin to nurture and cultivate spiritual teachings, we notice a growing freedom from constantly evaluating whether a person or a condition is good or bad. We can detach from circumstances and know that they are outer and depend solely on human energy and attention to continue, because outer events have no self-sustaining power. And in this teaching, we begin to see clearly the movement from Moses' law, that's the Old Testament reading in your program, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And as man, as recorded in the Old Testament, as the human consciousness kept growing, expanding, becoming more aware of its closeness to God, we realized that in each one of us is the template. It's already there. The base belief. It's in the very first chapter of Genesis. And God saw everything he had created, and it was good. However, in the next chapter of Genesis, this inspired writer illustrated man's giving more believability to the senses, to what he saw and heard, than to this inner spiritual supportive awareness of all good. And the writer illustrated man's double-minded nature with the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The serpent represents man's intellectual analysis, the ego, that reasons from outer facts. And this is original sin. This is duality. And all these thousands of years later, and all of the intervening generations, we are still evaluating what comes into our lives, believing the outer appearance more than we believe our inner, invisible, spiritual, feeling nature. So man's consciousness evolved over the generations and over the years until 2,000 years ago in John 3:16, this beautiful, familiar verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And Jesus Christ, the longed-for Messiah, the longed-for Savior, arrived on earth and was so unlike the preconceived idea of what a Savior would be like that he was unrecognized by the religious leaders. It was the average working man who knew Jesus was the Christ. It was Peter, the fisherman, formerly known as Simon, who answered when Jesus asked his students, his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" And Peter replied, "You are the Christ." He recognized the Savior, the Messiah. And man's consciousness took a giant leap forward, deeper. Those closest to him began to practice what Jesus was actually saying and living. And here we come to the title of today's lesson, Divine Justice and Human Justice. Jesus was born into a world where justice could hold men blameless for stoning to death a woman caught in adultery. That was human justice. And so what is the divine justice? That whole passion dissolved when Jesus just said one sentence, who among you is without sin, cast the first stone. The woman was spared, without an argument, without an appeal to reason, just love. And then Jesus understood that his listeners probably were illiterate. They certainly had no pencil and paper to take notes. And he wanted them to understand this teaching. And so he told them stories in parables. And a parable has a surface story, and if you think about it, it opens a whole new understanding. And there is a parallel understanding when you think about that story. It was something that his listeners could leave with and remember. And one of the most illustrative was the parable of the prodigal son. It showed divine justice, and it showed at the same time human justice. The younger son did everything wrong. And when he was hungry and broke and friendless, with no possibility of surviving on his own, he came home expecting well-deserved punishment. And here is divine justice. While yet a long way off, his father ran to meet him, threw his arms around him, kissed him, put fine clothes on him, a ring, held a feast in his honor. No punishment, no rules. Well, if you come home now, you have to do X, Y, Z. It was unconditional love. And in the parable, Jesus included those people not yet receptive to divine justice, of unconditional forgiveness. And so he included the older brother, who wanted his brother to get a much-deserved punishment according to what everybody else would agree to human justice. And this older brother refused to celebrate the prodigal's return and turned away, preferring his belief in right and wrong and unable to forgive. He was unaware that this festering inner dialogue of facts and behavior are the very mood that goes out and attracts additional circumstances to match. This resentment attracts more and more circumstances to resent. This is consciousness. This is the law of expression, the way life on earth unfolds. It's every Sunday on the cover of your program from Dr. Seale. The power is not in the condition, it's in the mood you allow these conditions to produce. Jesus Christ walked around on earth healing and teaching. And what he taught was the power of love over every outer condition. He said, stop judging by appearance, the way something looks. That's human justice. Instead, judge it correctly, which goes all the way back to Genesis, when God called all creation good. It's a very big boost for us to know that underneath and behind our outer appearance, all of God is there. And God is love and power. People flocked to Jesus Christ because he was a healer. And they stayed and listened because his compassion radiated out and swept them up in God's love. Jesus saw no levels of society. His country was occupied by Roman soldiers, with a Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. And Jesus healed a Roman centurion's dying servant. Jesus made no distinction between what many would call an enemy soldier. He also spoke highly of Samaritans. He gave the parable of the Good Samaritan, who Jewish people disregarded as unworthy pagans. Jesus did not try to topple Herod, even though Jesus knew Herod had ordered. Jesus' deeply spiritual cousin, John the Baptist, to be beheaded. In summary, Jesus Christ did not get involved with outer conditions, sickness, or relationships. A good word for these appearances, and it's in the dictionary, is hullabaloo, chaos. He stayed connected to his awareness in the allness of God expressing in him as the Christ, the Holy Spirit that does the work. All of this was before anything changed in the outer. He had a deep, unshakable faith. He lived by divine justice and taught others the freedom and joy that comes from noticing. What is your awareness? What are you basing your opinions on? The intellect in us will probably argue if you decide that you're going to try divine justice, because the intellect will no longer be in charge. And then you can begin to have doubt and question, should I trust this? And this begins your descent into duality, original sin. It's been going on forever until we make a conscious decision, enough. This is the path to peace of mind, possibly in the very midst of confusion and a storm. Let us pray. Dear God, we remember that you know what is best, and that it is your power always expressing as divine harmony and the highest good for all concerned. And we can give thanks this Thanksgiving with a deep conviction that you are love, all good, and all is well now. We do not have to love the facts. We love your presence. And we trust that this is so. Amen. Amen.